Moncrief on News Talk.
When you're 22, your life is full of barely explored potential, but a diagnosis of cancer, brain cancer, brings all that to a sudden and shocking halt. That's what happened to the journalist Annabel Craddock. Apart from the grueling treatments, she had to deal with an odd sense of not feeling like herself anymore, but a group chat helped her in ways that the doctors couldn't. Annabel, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.
When did you first get even an inkling something was up?
Well, it's crazy because the first things that even happened was the seizures. And even then, I didn't think I had a brain tumour. And I think that's common for a lot of people who have seizures and brain tumours as well.
Yeah.
Because totally fine as soon as it ends.
Yeah, and the thing was that you were having brain seizures and being brought into hospital, and were they recommending scans at that point?
They were a bit, yeah. They weren't super recommending it, but just because I presented so well, I didn't look like there was anything wrong with me. I certainly didn't sound like there was anything wrong with me. They said, you know, we can take you into a CT scan if you want. That would have revealed there's something there. Whether that be an infection, a tumour, they would have taken me into hospital immediately. But I was bored. I've been in there for 8 hours.
Yes, yeah, and I suppose the odd thing about it at that stage was that apart from the fact that you were having seizures, and were all of them happening when you were asleep?
They were. Yes, I had. All of my seizures were nocturnal seizures. I don't exactly know how many I have been having, to be totally honest. There were mornings I'd wake up covered in sweat, or I'd feel like I'd run a marathon. I'd gone to sleep and hadn't gotten any rest, that kind of thing. But these are all completely retrospective. Mm. In the moment, you don't think of them at all. Looking back, I was having deja vu a lot. That's a sign. That's a mini seizure, essentially. Deja vu is what I've now been told.
Wow.
That can happen to anyone. I know. Interestingly, having deja vu is your brain misfiring against your memory. So it feels like you've done it. You've been there before.
Yeah. So.
And that's a seizure.
Yeah. But I suppose the rest of the time during the day, you felt completely well and healthy and looked 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was getting A's in exams. I was performing really well, beginning my career, writing, like brimming with, my life was brimming with possibilities. And it still is. I won't say it's not, but, you know, at that age, at 22, you know, your life is laid ahead of you.
Yeah, indeed. What brought it to a head then, where somebody said, and pardon the terrible pun, what brought it to that point where you had to have a CT scan and they had to give you some news about that?
Well, my mum was keeping a very close eye on me and I had another nocturnal seizure, at which point she called an ambulance straight away. And I was having back-to-back seizures in the ambulance, and they did a CT scan and an MRI while I was sedated. So even before I woke up, they knew what was there.
Yeah. And what? There was a tumour there.
Pardon?
There was a tumour there?
Yes. I had a very large diffuse tumour. So it's not as most people would expect, like a bright spot on a map. It was diffuse. One side of my brain was glowing, the other was not.
Yeah.
And that's what infections can also look like, hence the confusion and the delay in my diagnosis.
Okay. Because even at that stage where some of the medical people around you saying, this doesn't quite add, we see that there, but the rest of your symptoms don't add up.
Mm. Yeah, that was very much the case for a long time. Even when I was out of hospital and having appointments with neurosurgeons, they said, we don't understand why this is happening now. What we see is something very, very big, but someone who seems very, very normal.
Mm. So even then, when you were going into hospital and you may have seen other people around you who were due for surgery, did that feel a little strange for you, and that perhaps the other people might have been looking at you and go, why is she here? She looks completely fine.
Well, yeah, I had my own room in the acute medical unit. I spent a lot of that time in bed. I had a lumbar puncture, so I couldn't move that much. That's quite grueling when they do a spinal tap. Completely. I mean, everyone around me was 50 years older than me, elderly. It felt like people were really dying in there. And I spent my time in hospital in complete delusion about what was going on. That it was a very confusing time.
Yeah, I imagine so. So when you came to have the surgery, what did they do? Could you tell us what the surgery consisted of?
So the surgery was a full right temporal lobe removal. So my entire right temporal lobe is not in my skull anymore. It's crazy how I can still function normally without almost a quarter of my brain has been removed. It shows how robust and my brain has been able to rewire itself around the disease.
That's extraordinary.
It is extraordinary.
Had they said to you, we're going to remove your right temporal lobe and that might result in these side effects or maybe forms of debilitation?
Oh, well, of course. There was a long, long consent form. But a part of me just didn't really read through the risks because nothing would have stopped me from getting that surgery.
Mm. Of course not, no.
No, and they've saved my life.
And was it when you were having the surgery that you were actually added to the chat group?
No, well, not during the surgery itself. It was a bit after when I found out. I unfortunately found out that I had to have radiotherapy and chemotherapy, which no doctor or neurosurgeon had expected. And so at that point, it felt like my life was over and cancer treatment was what's happening going forward. So I was stressed, of course, about what hair I was going to lose, about what I'd look like, what my life would be like. And through Googling, I found girls like me, which was completely shocking to see. And one of them added me to a group chat.
Yeah. And at that time, did you have a sense you weren't young anymore almost?
I think the sense was, I was just paralyzed by my diagnosis. I didn't know how to move in a space that included cancer. I didn't know how to. There's no kind of visual frameworks for this to happen. It's so out of the blue. It's such a shock to the system. And no one knows what to say, let alone how what I was my life.
Yeah. But
I think they gave me permission to live my life, seeing these girls live their lives.
Yeah, indeed. The recovery process then, was
in
that...
In the 20s, too.
Yeah, was that quite arduous?
They gave me permission to live my life.
Yeah, yeah. The recovery from all this, Annabelle, was that quite arduous?
The brain surgery recovery.
Yeah.
Very, very, very hard. Physically demanding.
And how long...
Especially coming to the hospital.
Yeah, how long did that take? And you know, how long did it take until you reached a point where you kind of, I feel okay again now?
I think there was a turning point at around 6 weeks, definitely. But there are still things that scare me in terms of going on public transport. If there was an elbow to the head, that could be really, really dangerous for me. My brain is still healing. It will take up to a year to heal properly. So it's not over.
Yeah. And has your hair grown back?
Well, I've had radiotherapy, so I've actually lost more hair now.
Yeah.
I finished radiotherapy about 3 weeks ago, and so that was a huge step, because radiotherapy is every day, 5 days a week, 5 days a week for 6 weeks, which is, you know, it's all-consuming.
Yeah.
And tiring, and it feels like a long time. So now that's over, I feel like life is a bit normal, but I've lost most of my hair.
But it will grow back, I assume.
It will grow back. Sometimes it doesn't, but mine will grow back.
And do you have plans for the future now? Obviously, you're still in the healing process of all this, but, you know, a year from now, what's Annabelle going to be doing?
Well, hopefully still the writer I always have been. I was mid through getting a journalism qualification. Not that you need one to be a journalist.
Most don't.
No, most don't. But I will be writing. I will be doing as much writing as I can. That's what really pushed me to do the story, because I just felt so strongly that I've had such a unique perspective and that this is a story worth telling and other people can relate to it. And it's something worth exposing. The fact that cancer doesn't have to be a static. I don't know.
Yeah, indeed. Annabelle, thank you so much for speaking with us today, and very best of luck to you for the future. That was Annabelle Craddock.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.